KN4HTP, KN4 Kilo November 4, Romeo Juliet November, comment?
Go ahead, KN4RJN.
Yeah, I almost forgot my call sign there. I had to do it phonetically because I'm used to saying it. If Harry's still listening, the Budweiser wagon weighs about 12 tons.
50.
This is KN4RJN. Say again, Harry.
Empty.
Well, it didn't say, but I'm assuming that's unladen.
I figured it probably weighed maybe 4,000 or 5,000 pounds, but 12 tons, that's 24,000 pounds. How many pounds of, well, let's see, you've got tongue weight on a trailer, and then you've got pulling capacity, so I guess tongue weight doesn't count. But and I don't know how many horses pull that wagon either, but I got a funny feeling those horses are pretty stout. KC4EZN.
This is KN4RJN. Roger, I looked at that. That's fully loaded. 12 tons fully loaded, which is, yeah, that's a whole lot of, isn't it? I don't know how many horses. It's at least 8. I think it might be closer to 12 horses that pull that thing. But, yeah, 12 tons fully loaded.
Pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. I didn't realize it weighed that much. That's a lot of Budweiser. Anyway. Thank you, John. It's good to hear you talking. Glad to hear that you're mobile. We've had several friends with hip replacement, and one of them went really well. She had it done on a Wednesday. We visited Friday, and she met us at the front on her front porch with a cane. And the other one spent about 10 days in rehab, but when he left, he was fully mobile, walking around like he'd never had anything wrong. So I think you fell somewhere in between. Sounds like you're about to get there. So that all sounds good. We'll turn it back to Wendy, KN4RJ and KC4EZN, back to KN4HTP. Good to talk to you, John.
KN4HTP. Yeah, that's pretty wild, a wagon that's 12 tons. There were 8 horses, and they weighed at least 2,000 pounds each. So there's some more crazy numbers to throw around. I sized up the horse because we had a pony that we kept it in the mountains, and I'd hike down to the pasture where we kept her and ride her bareback. I'd just carry her bridle and then ride her bareback back up to where we stayed. It was, I don't know, a mile and a half or something, not bad. And so when I was standing there looking at those giant horses, I thought, man, I couldn't even get on that horse. I'd have to climb a tree. But then it would be really, it looked really inviting for bareback riding because it was so big and wide. I thought I would feel really secure on that horse and just get a handful of mane and you could go. So, yeah, that's pretty amazing, 12-ton wagon. And for HTP, net control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, it looks like I had a message from Kevin Dodson, for any who are still listening in. He is working on his tower and would like some help with that. And he is on Kevin Dodson, KN4UBG. You might know him better as KN4UBG. And he is on QRZ.com. So you could look him up, and he's looking for people to help him with that. So sure to be nice opportunity to get to know him and to learn about what his setup is and all that kind of thing. So anyone listening in that might be interested in helping with that, please look him up on QRZ.com. All right, we'll give another opportunity here for anyone listening in who has comments or would like to check in. Please call KN4HTP or Net Control.
HTP, KK4JBQ for comment.
KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry, go ahead with your comment.
I just sit here and I couldn't resist talking about horses. And being on top of the Clydesdale, wide back and all, it just reminded me of something I experienced when younger. I was working at a stables, cleaning stalls for my riding lessons. And among the boarders, there was a Tennessee walking horse, Tennessee Walker. This was in Tennessee, by the way. And I was asked by the owner to exercise her in the hallway. A horse barn is made with one long exercising hallway. It's probably 20 feet wide, maybe 48, 50 feet long. And you go, it was just pouring rain outside and muddy. So she needs some exercise. I got on the horse, and first time I'd ever been on a Tennessee Walker. I threw my legs across, and it was like sitting on a big couch. It was marvelous. And I gave her foot signals to get her going, and we went up. It was just like people had told me. It was like riding in a Cadillac. No sense of motion, except you're moving forward. The back is, because of the way they're taught to trot, it's a distinctive gait. The back stays level, smooth, no motion transferred to you. Well, I came back from the end of the hallway. I'd been told that I could wash her down, give her a bath. So there were shower stalls, and I didn't get down. And the shower stall was probably only about 3 feet. The roof of the stall was only about 3 feet above my head. And people came running, shouting, "Get off of her, she'll kill you." And I guess they're a little prone to get nervous in the stall if you're still on them, and they'll buck. And that would have injured us both pretty bad. But I just gave her signals, which is just your heels tapping her withers. It's like putting the horse in reverse. And she just backed out, pretty as you please. And I got down, and people came around and said, "She's never done that. She didn't know that signal." So quite an experience. And maybe you've had close calls. That was a close call. And thank you for letting me remember that. Do you have a page out of your book of life? KK4JPQ.
Larry, Mark just reminded me of one. But that sounds pretty awesome that you got to ride the Tennessee Walker. Oh, too bad it was paired with a possibly near-death experience at the end. But it didn't, so I'm happy about the exercise down the hall. We had, let's see. So that first horse, that one was our white horse. She was like half Arabian. So she had a baby, and then her baby had a baby, and I was riding that horse, but I was older then. I was married, just newly married, so I don't know, 26 or something. Anyway, I was riding her, and Mark and I were together. We were out on a hike, but we had one horse, so we were gonna take turns anyway. Mark saddled her up for me, and you know how horses puff up. Well, our horses always do. How do they do it? I don't know. They puff up like a balloon around the belly while you're saddling them. And so then, you know, I would always walk them a few feet and then tighten the cinch. Well, I didn't think this horse pulled that trick. So when Mark was ready to tighten the cinch, I said, "Oh, she doesn't do that." And I just hopped right on her. So we rode, I don't know, just under a half a mile before I was riding. So I rode for a half a mile. And evidently was just balancing perfectly because nothing happened. But I crossed a rocky slope, and there was a bee or something. I stood up in the saddle and just went whoop right around under the horse's belly. saddle and all. I was so surprised. And, of course, she was surprised, too, and in her haste to get away from me in a puddle underneath her, she stepped on my leg. And Mark came running over. He didn't know what to do. To do for me, because I was moaning like I'd broken a rib or something, and I just looked up at him and I said, "Catch the horse." So he did, and he tightened that saddle down. But I didn't break a rib, but I did have a horse hoof print on my calf forever. It was this big, horrible bruise. And I had lumps in my leg in that muscle for years. And I just thought, every time it bothered me, I thought, well, she didn't hit either of the bones. So what do I got to complain about? I didn't have a compound fracture when my horse jumped on me. And it was my own fault because I had even told Mark not to tighten the cinch. So it was all on me, and so, you know, he brought the horse over, and when I realized that I was just fine, I just had a beautiful bruise on my leg, and I hopped back up on her, and we continued on our hike. But there's my scary horse story.
You had me going there. And you tell a good story. I mean, I could see it in my mind's eye. They are marvelous animals. I got to know a few of them quite well. They knew me by voice, of course, and touch. My touching them, that is. So, you know, a couple of other memories I have is a furrier who came and allowed me to help him shoe a horse that I was caring for, and that was a total different thing for me, to watch the forming of the shoe and the attachment, the taking it right from the forge and making an impression with the hot shoe in the hoof. It's like fingernail. There's no feelings there. And then the carving had a really sharp knife, curved knife, and he sharpened, trimmed the hoof, and leveled the hoof and all. I don't know how many times, maybe a couple times a year, this must be done, because their hooves grow like our fingernails do. Anyway, and driving in the nails and bending them around to the outside of the hoof, filing those down, really dressing them up, you know, putting a polish on it after that. Boy, it was really neat. And then there was Domino. Domino was a Palomino that was a little older. He'd been at the stables a while. I was supposed to exercise him, bathe him, and then use a slicker to dress him down. And so in the exercising, no one told me a very important note about this horse. So it was a four-gated horse. Had been trained to four gates. And we were in a trot. And I wanted to slow down. He was kind of getting away from me. So I pulled in on the reins. Well, in another life, or an earlier life, this horse had been trained as a racehorse. And if you know anything about that, pulling the reins in is not stop, it's go faster. So it took off in a gallop. Oh, just a gallop. And I lost a stirrup. And here I am with my right foot in the stirrup and my left foot lost it. I had the reins and the mane. I just barely stayed on, and somebody yelled at me, "Turn her in a circle. Turn her in a circle. Pull her head all the way into her body." And I did, and she stopped up short. Just stopped still. If I'd been on her another 5 minutes, I know I'd have been off. And who knows, hit the ground, could have killed me. There's another horsey story. I love it. Wendy, thank you for indulging me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Everybody have a good night. KK4JBQ. Thanks, Wendy. 7-3.
4JBQ, this is KN4HTP. Thanks for the horse stories. It was fun. It was fun to remember. It's amazing any of us live to adulthood, isn't it? But I really appreciate the beauty of a good horse. So, anyway, thanks, Larry. I enjoyed that. I'll take a pause in case there's anyone listening in that hasn't checked in yet. If you have a comment or if you'd like to check in, please call KN4HTP or Net Control. This is KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, we have one more possible RAG 2 station. That's Mr. Chad, KO4NUE, although he might have turned in by now at the deer camp, but just checking in with you, Chad. Are you still listening in?
HTP, KO4NUE. I'm still here, Miss Wendy.
I'm curious, what's the setup of your deer camp there?
It's what's left of the family farm up in Pickens, and as the crow flies, probably I'd say 4 to 5 miles from K1CJW Rolling up here in Pickens. And this is what's left of the family farm. I've inherited a portion of it from my mother. And there was a bathhouse here that the Roanoke Baptist Church used to have baptisms in the 12 Mile River. And when I inherited the place, it was in pretty bad shape. So I fixed it up and made a little kind of one room cabin here. And me and my wife come up here on the weekends, or I really utilized it a lot during quarantine for COVID. But it's just what it sounds like. It's very primitive. I mean, I've got all the amenities. Toilet, shower, stove, refrigerator, TV. But it's really primitive and just out in the middle of nowhere, really. And so that's kind of the deer camp. And I'm up here. I've had a bear, a black bear that has been, he is my menace. I mean, he is just aggravating me to death. So I come up here to check and see and make sure he hadn't destroyed anything else. But I haven't seen him since I got here. And I haven't seen any strangled frogs either. Me and Walt have been talking about frog strangling for the past week. Neither one of us have ever heard that before. And that just made us laugh and laugh and laugh, because Miss Wendy was talking about the rain and frog strangling. So, you've got one that I don't think me and Walt will ever forget, because we've never heard that. KO4NUE.
Chad, I love it. You know, I heard that down here, and maybe I'm just so gullible that when somebody said it's a frog strangler, and meaning it, you know, a heavy rainstorm, I just believed him, and maybe he was pulling my leg. That is too funny. But, yeah, it's one I'll never forget. That's pretty cool. you'll have to let me know some other nicknames for big rainstorms that you've heard. I'm sure you and Walt have heard a few. So, anyway, that's great. I'm glad you haven't seen any signs of the black bear. Maybe, well, Maybe somebody helped him move on to the next life. I don't know, but it sounds like the neatest thing that I'm hearing about your deer camp is that it's in the middle of nowhere. That sounds really nice, where you can never have to see a person if you don't want to, kind of a place, and you can be noisy or you can be quiet, you can enjoy the peace, you can hear the wind in the trees and the rustle of the grass and the bear scratching or tearing apart your bathhouse or... Anyway, I'm glad you haven't seen much of the bear.
Yes, Wendy, but actually I just wanted to comment on the frog strangling and to just let you know you run a wonderful net, you and Mr. Mark both, and just wanted to let you know that, and I'll let you go. I know everybody's tired and certainly don't want to hear me ramble on, so 7-3s to you, and I'll be out, and thank you for calling the net tonight, Miss Wendy. It's KL4NUE. I'm clear.
4NUE, this is KN4HTP. Thanks for hanging around for Rag 2, and I hope you enjoy your time at the deer camp, and if you actually are deer hunting, I wish you good luck. I would go to the deer camp and then just hang out. But I know some people are more serious than I am about stuff like that. So anyway, thanks for hanging around, Mr. Chad. All right, I'll just want to check and see if I've missed anyone else for comments or for check-ins all the way through the alphabet. Anyone listening in who hasn't checked in before, please check in by calling KN4HTP or Net Control. Our friend Walt, K4OIM, will be running the net tomorrow night, and I'm sure he will appreciate you checking in. That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow. The net report will be submitted electronically, and I will break for a minute to let the repeater transmit tonight's results. Just FYI, we had 60 check-ins tonight. That was a good night for me. So thank you, everyone, for checking in. And just a moment, the net report will broadcast. KN4HTP, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with my thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s, and good night, everybody.
4JBQ, KO4NUE. 4JBQ, KO4NUE.
4NUE, 10K4JBQ here.
Hello, Mr. Larry, you doing all right tonight?
Well, I had a pretty good day today. Rested well last night. That's a good start. And, well, Mondays are a good day around here. I guess we're over festivities of the weekend. If you had any of those, anybody listening, I don't have many festivities anymore. But I did find a few things that I was missing. Somewhere, you know, as you say. And I started work on a CW keyer. I have some radios that don't have a side tone. One of them is a little Pixie that I put together. I don't know if you've ever... That's an experience. It's a little one-board radio. You can get them for about $3, but you can spend as much as $8 for parts. And assemble it, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Anyway, this doesn't have a good side tone, so this one works for them. It's also a good practice oscillator, and kind of need that to give me more of the clicking sound that my key makes. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, so I just don't see if you got the picture I sent you of the old farmhouse. I think I sent it yesterday.
I did, and that looks a lot like the house that my dad grew up in. And the first house that his parents lived in when I was just a little boy, maybe around 40 years old. The house was built before they built kitchens in the house. Kitchens separate. So if it caught fire, it would burn the rest of the house down. But there was a little breezeway between the house and the kitchen. You know, to eat your meal, you have to go outside and back in again. It was a nice picture, and I'm sure. Was it ever occupied when you were young?
Where me and Grandma, where I had to come up here and stay, and stay with her during the summer months, or a couple of weeks during the winter, I guess. But I told you I'd send you a picture of it when I was up this way. So I figured I'd just, I'm going to check in with you and see if you got it. I mean, nothing special about it. I'm just going to let you know that was one I was writing about in the journal entry. But, KI4DTY came Daniel. I got to meet him today. He came up to the deer camp, and we shared a meal together, and that was a good experience. I mean, really nice guy, and we sat around and had some leisurely conversation for about 2 hours, I guess, and went down to the river and showed him the river and the barbecue hut down there, and then went up to the pond and looked at the fishing pond for a little bit, and we just kind of came back to the cabin and grilled some hamburgers and just talked for a while. And that was pretty pleasurable, you know. And then sit down, just have some decent conversation. And then tomorrow, Gary's coming up. And we're going to have breakfast and sit around and drink some coffee. And then we're going to probably walk up on top of the hill for a little bit and take a look at a place to probably put a couple of bee gums this, maybe in the spring. And I think we're going to, ask him if he'd put a hive or two up here and let me, you know, kind of follow along with him and learn. So last time we talked, he's gonna bring the hive, and then I'm gonna get a hive too, and we'll just do them side by side and just see kind of how it goes, and hopefully he can pass on some knowledge to me.
Man, that's got plenty to pass on. I like spending time with Gary. I was a big brother to a brat, and Gary's kind of like, if he's listening, he probably wouldn't take to this, but I kind of consider him a big brother, maybe not too much older than me, but he's been a friend when you didn't know you had. You didn't have him as a friend. He just steps right into it. He's comfortable with that. In my lifetime, my experiences were that it took a long, hard time to make a friend. And I think this hobby does something to people. And maybe it makes them more friendly. I think that's what it does. Well, so I showed all your pictures and little movies also to Donna. She was thrilled. I mean, she was thrilled with them. I mean, she shows me, you know, little things that people sent her. And so I thought I'd return the favor. And she identified the birds that were in the house as Carolina wrens. and one was a little larger. That'd be the female, the one that sat while the other flittered around. The more active one was the male. Characteristic, the way they carry their tail high up like that, and little bitty creatures. She shivered when she saw the bear in the blackness, in the dark, you know, but she can still make the bear out, and that glowing eye, I mean, it made the shiver run over her. Oh, well, yeah. And, I have to thank you for that. That was a good moment. KK4JPQ.
So the other thing I was going to tell you was, I brought my Omni 10-Tech up here, and gonna set my HF radio up here. And so I decided I'd, you know, string me a antenna up here behind the cabin. So I got my slingshot and my fishing rod and tied my sinker on the end of the fishing rod and set the shot out and lost the sinker right off. I mean, first shot I made it over the limb and then was able to pull the tag line halfway up and broke the line, lost my sinker, and then reached in my pocket, get another sinker out, and had a hole in my pocket, and I lost my sinkers. So I'm back to step one, but I went into town today and got me some more sinkers and bought me some spider wire to put on my my fishing rod, and maybe that'll hold up a little bit better. But things going pretty good, I guess. No sign of the bear, but it's pretty wet. So it quit raining, what, 2-3 days ago. So I've looked the place over pretty good, and I haven't seen any bear tracks. So he hadn't been here in at least 3 days. But the trash can was down the road again. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to put me a game cam up underneath the cabin so I kind of figure out what he's doing or if he's doing it. But I can't imagine it could be much anything else, I guess. But that's just kind of what's going on here. The 12-mile flooded its banks sometime during all that rain. And the bottoms are all vegetation is all leaned over from the flooding. But that's kind of normal. I mean, that happens a lot down here, I guess. And sometimes it gets all the way up to the roof on the barbecue hut, which is about 12 feet high. So I've got a couple pictures where just the gable of the roof is showing under all the water. But, I mean, that happens all the time down here. It's nothing new. But other than that, I'm just going to check in with you and see how y'all were getting along. And so that's pretty much it, I guess. You got all the Orzo soup gone?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I can eat a big bowl of soup. I can drink it out of a thermos. I just love soup. I really do. Nicely seasoned. A little bit of pasta in it is nice. A chicken broth base. Oh, celery, you know. And it's just, it works magic on me. It changes my whole demeanor to have a big, big bowl of soup. I like crackers, saltines with it. Anyway, your throw, you're using fishing weights to throw. A lot of people do that. And I did it for a time. I did that. But then I read somewhere something I thought I'd pursue because it just sounded interesting. This fella took a tennis ball, one that had lost its pressure, you know, and they're no good for tennis anymore. And he cut a slit in it and put him a string through it, through the slit, and then he loaded that thing with 22 pennies. It was just the right weight, he said. Well, I duplicated that tennis ball, and it's a nice size to throw, you know. And so I would throw and threw my arm away. I mean, I was a pitcher back in elementary school, and even though it was softball, I threw my arm away, and I've got my bursitis in that shoulder, my right shoulder. Really hurt it. So I gave that up. But then operating outdoors on location like a park or, you know, something like that, you want to get a line into a tree. So I looked into what arborists do to get their lines in trees that they're going to trim up or fell even, you know. They'll throw lines into it. And there's this little, really a tough material that they're made of. And they put shot in there, I believe, in an interior bag. That's tough also. And they sew it all up, put a ring at the top. 12 ounces is best, I understand. And then they have a special throw line and a special way to swing it. You could swing it between your legs facing the tree you're going to launch into, or you can throw it backward over your head. You know, there's a couple ways of doing it. But that's a skill you should practice, I suppose. Anyhow, yeah. Oh, by the way, I need to tell you, unbeknownst to me, Donna has some friends coming down from New York. She is the godmother to their baby girl, and now she's graduated, and she's an attorney now. But you know, the years go by. They're coming down on Thursday and staying through the weekend, so I feel obliged to miss the Anderson Ham Fest as much as I hate that. KK4JBQ.
Not a problem, Larry. Not a problem at all. That'll give me some time to focus on trying to finish up studying for my exam. And I'm kind of halfway through the material, and I got, you know, a couple of days to get on it, so that'll give me some time to focus on that. And that'll probably work out pretty good. So, but other than that, I'm on 673s. I'm on a handy tonight. I took the Kenwood home, and that's I guess my wife has commandeered it to do nets. She says I'll let you use it. So oh man. Oh, she's something else. But anyway, it's at the house, so I'm on a handy, and I'll have to. I'm sure my battery's getting ready to drop, but I'll go ahead and take 73s and listen to some final comments, and probably respond to that and head on out. But if my battery drops, then you know what happened.
It's always good to talk with you, Chad. And I was looking forward to meeting you face-to-face, that eyeball QSO everybody talks about. I was looking forward to seeing Andy again. And some other folks. Maybe John would be there, KG4GFU. He signed in to the net one day one day this past week. I haven't seen John in a long time. Anyhow, it's been a pleasure, sir. It really has been. I always like these talks. And I like talking with Wendy tonight, too. She's such a pleasant person. I mean, that's a gift, I think. I don't think you can work on pleasant and get it right. I think you just have to be born that way. You have a good night, Chad. KK4JBQ.
And, one other thing I was going to tell you before I drop out of here is Saturday, one of those days, I got an opportunity to go see Mr. Wise from the Land of Wise, and he had some stuff on the swap net that he had for me, so I went by and visited with him and sat down and talked with him for, probably close to maybe an hour, I guess. Nice person and very knowledgeable, and he passed along some knowledge to me and told me a little bit about Ray and how Ray mentored him a little bit, and got a chance to see some of his antennas that he had built, and looks really nice. And one thing I noticed, he's built a J-pole that he talks on out of copper pipe, kind of like the one I sent you. But on the two legs, we have the connector that's soldered, and then the little piece of copper that moves to the other side of the antenna. The one you got is just a straight piece of copper, but he wrapped his around the copper pipe and put some pretty little bends, pretty little twirl in it. And that's the first thing I noticed when I saw it, and I thought it was just really neat, you know. And I said, well, why did you do that? I said, what does that do to the antenna and this, that, and the other? And he says, well, it just looks nice. And I thought, oh wow, you know, that's exactly right, because it does look pretty neat. So I think the next one I'll build, I'll use his idea, because it looked really nice. But Larry, I'm gonna say 7-3. You tell Miss Donna I said hello, and we'll do a face to face another time. No worries. And it's KL4NUE, and I'm clear. Have a nice night, Larry.
Hey, Chad. Waz is an interesting character, and he makes great antennas. His antennas are famous in these parts. But I have a notion that high tower antennas will become just as famous. Get yourself a good night's rest. I don't know what sort of creatures you got to make noises as you fall off to sleep, but enjoy that. Oh, KO4NUE, KK4JBQ. 7-3, I'm clear.